Good morning, Hope Church. I pray you are well. Is everybody organized for Christmas? All presents wrapped, decorations put up, feet put up, everything covered, yeah? Good. All right. This week, we're going to continue to look of this theme, O come, let us adore him. That's our theme for this month. And this morning, I would like us to think about, O come, let us adore him in our present circumstances. Oh, come, let us adore him in our present circumstances. I was given what I believe was a prophetic word by somebody in our service this morning to say that there are one or two people here in this congregation who are feeling desperate. They had the word desperation. That came to them. So if that is you this morning, I believe that what God has given me to share with you will be a help to lead you to the point of being able to say, oh, come, let me adore him in my present circumstances. Because that's what God wants us to be doing. And I believe God wants to encourage us each this morning in all the circumstances of our life that we're currently experiencing. I believe it's the heart of God that each one of us lives victorious lives. That's not the heart of Satan. He doesn't want that for us. He wants us to be defeated. He wants us to be subdued. But God wants us to live a victorious life. I wonder, Sammy, if you could just turn down the side. I mean, how do you cope when life gets difficult for you, when you're in a difficult circumstances? How do you cope? I've got a couple of few slides here. Could I have the first one, please, Andy, if that's possible? Can you see that one? Some people get stuck. They find themselves in a mess, and the more they try to sort it out, the worse they get, and their friends are looking on saying, what on earth is going on here? They get stuck. Could we have the next slide, please? There's some people who say, I'm having a bad hair day. When in fact, they're really struggling. And they put on this smile and they minimize how they're feeling. I'm just having a bad hair day. But deep inside, they're really hurting. Could we have the next slide, please? Some people retreat into a state of helplessness. Oh, I can't cope with this. You take over. They become like a little baby. They just want people to sort out their problems. They just want to not deal with it. And they become dependent upon other people. Can I have the next slide, please? I don't know if you can see that. Probably not at the back. It says exit at the top. And the note is on the door which is saying, this is not an exit. And not is in big capital letters. Sometimes we get confused, don't we? We don't know what to do. We have no idea where we are, and confusion reigns. Damien, I want you to help me illustrate something for this. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to lead the congregation in singing the chorus, O come, let us adore him, okay? I want you to start quietly on the first line, get louder on the second, and then really, really loud on the third and the final bit. So everybody stand as Damien leads us in the singing of this song.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. That's right. Take your seats. I wanted to do that. I wanted to lead you in singing that song. But I didn't. I was too scared to do so because many, many, many years ago, several people said to me, David, you can't sing in tune. And I believed that. And to this day, I still believe that I can't sing in tune. And so the thought of me leading you, starting you singing, terrified me, frightened me. No, I'm not going to do it now. Although, after I start singing, you might start believing there is a hell when you hear my singing. But anyway. But that was a wounding. And I think some of us have situations in our life, circumstances in our life, something that's been spoken over us that deeply affects us and prevents us from functioning well in difficult circumstances. We find it difficult to cope. And how we cope depends perhaps on how we're feeling, how we are emotionally, what reserves we have, what resources we have available to us. And I think every one of us here in this building, if we're honest, we are facing some challenges in our lives. Would that be true? Some are big, some are small, some are concerning. But I think all of us face some challenges in our life. And in those circumstances, in our present circumstances, we may find it difficult to say, oh, come, let us adore him in our present circumstances. And this is what I want to explore with you this morning. How can we, as God's people, sing, oh, come, let us adore him. Let's come into your presence, Father, in my present circumstances. Would you turn with me, please, to your Bibles? And we're going to read from Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to read from chapter 1 of Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to start reading from verse 18. And let's read this. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, took Mary home as his wife. And now can you turn with me to Isaiah, please, to Isaiah. We're going to look at chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Matthew and Luke in the Gospels give two very distinct accounts of the birth of Jesus because they approach it from different perspectives. Luke's account is written from the perspective of Mary, and Matthew's account looks at the birth of Jesus from Joseph's perspective. Now I want us for a little while just to look at the circumstances that Joseph and Mary were experiencing and to get us some understanding of the reality behind what the scripture says here. And try to imagine what their situation would have been like for them. Now, just like Mary, we don't know a great deal about Joseph. In fact, we know less about Joseph than we do about Mary because Joseph doesn't appear in any of the accounts of the Gospels once Jesus began his ministry. But knowing what we know about the culture at that time, it's more than likely that Joseph was just a teenager, or certainly in his early 20s. Think about that. Have you thought about that? He was young. He was in his teens or Pop's early 20s. And he was identified later in Matthew's gospel as a carpenter. And that would have meant that he was a person who was would help construct buildings and so on. Now, after his betrothal to Mary, he would have gone back to the family home and started to build an addition to the family house. That's what happened. Knowing and planning that that's where Mary and he would live as man and wife. And there they would raise a family. That was the plan. And everything was going great until Mary told Joseph, "I'm pregnant." Joseph knew the child was not his because both Matthew and Luke are very clear that Joseph had not known Mary, and so therefore the child could not be his. We don't exactly know when and how Mary told Joseph she was pregnant. Can you put yourself in Joseph's shoes? Hello, Joseph. I haven't got any pictures to show you, but I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. A miraculous birth, a miracle. And she would have told Joseph about the visit from the angel Gabriel. And so they were having this conversation. And can you imagine how that conversation would go? Everything's all planned here. I'm building a house for us. And everything was going well for Joseph, no problems. Then suddenly Mary comes along and says, "I'm having a baby. He'll come, let us adore him." And I'm sure that at this point, as we read from Matthew's gospel, that I'm sure Joseph felt he was in a no-win situation here, and he really didn't know what to do for the best. I think one thing we can be certain of is that what his plans had been and what he imagined his life was going to be like with Joseph was no longer possible. Joseph couldn't see at this moment that he was becoming part of God's plan for all of mankind. God's plan to save the world through the child that would be born to them. He couldn't see that. All he could see at the moment were problems. We knew that Joseph, it says in Scripture, was a devout man. He knew the law. And he also knew in this situation what the law said had to be done. The law said that a betrothed couple were considered to be legally bound to one another. So, if they broke off their betrothal, a divorce was required. And also, under the Old Testament law, the fact that Mary had become pregnant during the betrothal period means that the laws concerning adultery applied. So Joseph was aware of what the consequences were of Mary becoming pregnant before they were married. Technically, Mary should have been stoned to death according to Deuteronomy 22. In practice, what usually happened, she would be divorced in a very public way and humiliated, and everything would be done in order to shame the woman. Not the man, but the woman. So he knew that Mary was at least facing great shame upon her. But we read in Scripture that Joseph was a compassionate man. And he did want Mary to suffer in this way. He didn't want to hurt her. So we read in verse 19 that he came up with the best plan he could think of to deal with the situation he was now facing. Because there was a provision in the Jewish law that allowed him to just give Mary divorce papers that did not assign any blame and that could be attested to by two or three witnesses, and to do this rather than go to a public court. So in this way, Joseph could follow the law and still treat Mary with compassion at the same time. But in verse 20, we read that Joseph considered these things, considered this plan. Now, this word considered is interesting. It's only used twice in the Bible. And it really means to meditate deeply or think about something for a long time before deciding what to do. So I can imagine Joseph was saying, how can I sort out this situation, these circumstances I find myself in? It's not surprising, really, that he did this, that he considered these things because of the potential consequences, both for Mary and for himself. The situation they were in was not ideal, and there were serious consequences, particularly for Mary. And when I was thinking, okay, I understand this now, I get behind what is written in the scripture and can understand the dynamics of what was going on and the depth of despair that Joseph must have been feeling. His concern for the woman that he loved, he knew she was going to, whatever happened, she was going to face intense humiliation and rejection. And he loved her. Didn't know what to do. How can I protect the one I love in these awful circumstances he was in? And so this led me on trying to explore this. And I actually found it helpful to split these words, O come, let us adore him, into three sections. O come, let us adore him. I just found that very helpful for me in my thinking. And hope it will help you to understand what I'm trying to get along. Could you turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 to 22? Because I think this word, O come, speaks to me of invitation, God's invitation to us. And we read in Hebrews chapter 10, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure waters. Let us draw near to God. And whatever challenges we may be facing in our lives, what we may be going through at this present moment, God is saying to us, come. Enter into the divine. Come into my presence. He gives us the invitation to seek him through the Holy Spirit. Oh, come. We are invited in the midst of our circumstances to come into God's presence. And it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. When we're in the midst of all that may be whirling around in our minds, it's difficult, isn't it? Because we focus on the things that are concerning us. And the thoughts of coming and adoring Jesus can seem miles away. And consider Joseph. He was making all these plans about what he would do to protect Mary. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and Joseph has a divine encounter. And this angel speaks directly into his situation and offers encouragement. He offers hope. Not only that, but he backs up what he is saying with scripture. He reminds Joseph of the prophetic word that the birth of his son would be a fulfillment, the birth of Joseph's son would be a fulfillment of this prophecy that we read from Isaiah 7. I'm not sure how I would feel if I was Joseph, really, thinking about it. There he was, trying to cope with this dramatic situation in his life. And he enters into a divine relationship with God, comes into his presence. And God says to him, what you're going through is a plan that I'm unfolding in your life. What? No, thank you. I could do without that at the moment. Anybody else felt like that? Because I think sometimes when we are struggling for whatever reason, we say, is God in this? What is God trying to teach me through this experience? Anybody done that? I've certainly done that. When something is happening which I can't make sense of, I ask myself, is this God trying to teach me something or show me something or encourage me in some way? So we may have this thought in the back of our mind when we're going through these circumstances. Oh, come, let us adore him. It's not easy. But that's the invitation God gives to each one of us this morning. Oh, come to me. Oh, come and adore me in your present experience. Simply come before me. Come into my presence, even if your present circumstances are so difficult. That's the time that I need you to come before me. Then I can speak into your life and I can help you make sense of what's happening in your life. Hear from me, God is saying. Come into my presence. Know my heart for you. I am with you in whatever you are going through, and I will not abandon you. I think this is the word somebody needs to hear this morning here. God is not abandoning you in the circumstances you may be experiencing at the moment. He is with you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to demonstrate his love to you through what you are going through. And the second part of this phrase, oh, come, let us. Can you turn with me, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Very familiar words, one of my favorite verses of Scripture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. The letters of this, let us of this phrase, I think, is about response. We hear from God to come into his presence, to reveal the truth of the situation that we're in, and he asks us to make a response to him. Joseph had to listen to God through what the angel was saying to him. Joseph had to stop looking at his circumstances and instead look to God. Joseph could easily have dismissed his dream and explained it all away. Just my imagination. Doesn't make any sense. And we do that sometimes, don't we, when God speaks to us? We dismiss it. And we know that he really is speaking to us in our circumstance, but we don't want to respond to it, because somehow it doesn't seem to make much sense. But Joseph believed what God was saying to him. And although it seemed impossible what was being revealed to him, he knew in his heart it was true. And sometimes we ask God for help in our circumstances, and we dismiss what he says because it doesn't line up with what we think should be happening or what we should be doing. Not the right answer. And this is despite the fact we wouldn't have a clue what to do anyway, but somehow or other God doesn't really understand. It's almost disrespectful, isn't it, when you think about it? That God will come and reveal his love for us in our circumstances, and we have to respond. We cannot ignore him. We accept his invitation to come into his presence and listen to what he says and respond. If my people will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, then I will move. Then I will hear from heaven, bring forgiveness and healing, because we serve a faithful God. He will never let us down. And if we respond to this invitation from God and turn to him, he will bring healing and encouragement into the circumstances of our lives. He will not force himself upon us, but will give the invitation and invite us to respond. And our response is, adore him. This speaks to me of action. We have to do something. It's responding to the invitation from the Lord and moving forward, or doing something in our circumstances, we are in the circumstances we're currently experiencing. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. And I'm reading from the ESB translation. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and bring sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As we respond to the invitation from God and come into his presence with adoration and thanksgiving, he will send us back into our circumstances with renewed hope and faith. Think about it. Joseph had this amazing encounter with an angel of the Lord who came to him. Wouldn't it be great if we said to God, we need some help here, and he sent us a great big angel every time? That would be really great. Thank you, Lord. I could take that. But we forget we've got the Holy Spirit with us all the time. Not just on occasion. God is with us all the time. And for Joseph and Mary, their circumstances didn't change. Mary was still pregnant. The law had not changed. The people in their village would not change their understanding of what was expected of Joseph and Mary. And they would probably and almost certainly still face the prejudice of others who didn't understand what was going on. Their circumstances were exactly the same before this encounter with the angel and after this encounter with the angel. What was happening in their life didn't change. But something had changed, because both Mary and Joseph had changed. They had been in the presence of God through the angel. Imagine that. Being in the presence of God through the angel. We can be in the presence of God in our circumstances. God is here with us now, we believe. We are here in the presence of God. This is a holy place, and we will be changed by being in his presence. And for Joseph and Mary, revelation had come into their heart. Understanding had come into their heart. And so it is with us. As we respond and adore him, we come into his presence and revelation comes to us. And Mary and Joseph understood the purposes of God in their current situation. They understood what was happening. Although it made no real sense to them in the natural, they understood the situation. And at that moment, I'm sure that Joseph, after being considering, what do I do, what do I do, spending a long time, what do I do, encountered God. And he experienced comfort and reassurance that God was in the circumstances of his life at that moment. Mary and Joseph realized they were not alone. And in this reality of understanding, they move forward to face whatever lay ahead. And that's what I want to, one of the things I want to say today, that when we are in our circumstances and we encounter God and we come into his presence and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me here. I'm overwhelmed by what's happening. My concerns for myself, my family, whatever your circumstance may be. Revelation can come to your heart. You can understand the purposes of God, and he transforms what happens, is happening in your life. And you can know his comfort and his reassurance. It changes our perspective on things when we come into his presence and we adore him and we respond. We know we are no longer alone because God is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And once Joseph and Mary had heard from God, they understood his perspective on their situation. And Joseph did immediately what God had told him to do. He took Mary as his wife. And when the baby was born, they named him Jesus, just as the angel had commanded them to do. And Joseph knew that obeying God was not going to make life easy for him. Because by taking Mary as his wife, everyone in that small town of Nazareth was going to assume that he had made her pregnant during the betrothal. If they tried to explain what was going on, would they believe it? They would think they were guilty of adultery. And they would have to live with the whispers and the stares and the comments from the people in the village. That was still going to happen. And it would get worse before it got better. Not only would Mary and Joseph have to travel alone to Bethlehem for the birth of Jesus, but they would have to flee to Egypt and live there for refugees for 3 years. But time after time, they demonstrated their willingness to submit themselves to the plan of God. And that's our experience. When we come into God's presence and seek him, he gives us the strength to cope with our circumstances. He doesn't take our circumstances away. He gives us the strength to grow and to develop in our circumstances. In whatever we may be facing, we have God's presence with us. And that's, somebody needs to hear that this morning. In your circumstances, God is working out his purposes, although that may seem to be impossible to believe. We sang earlier, "Oh come, let us adore him," led magnificently by Pastor Damien, may I say. And it was great to do so, wasn't it? It felt great. I was standing here and I could hear you singing. And it was a real volume of worship. And it's great, wasn't it? We were surrounded by family and for friends here, and it was good. Oh, come, let us adore him. It was easy. However, what's it like in your home? With anxiety in your heart and tears in your eyes? Oh, come, let us adore him. Doesn't come easily, does it? It certainly doesn't come easily. Once we accept Jesus into our lives, we are not promised a life free from struggle, free from trouble. However, the crucial difference is that we have God with us through the Holy Spirit in all the circumstances. He will be our comforter. He will be our counselor. He will be our guide through whatever we may be facing. And I believe that God wants to say to all of us this morning, oh, come, let us adore him in our present circumstances, whatever they are, in the circumstances of our lives. If you take nothing else away from what I've said this morning, hear this. Whatever our circumstances may be, whether that is joyful or challenging, God is working out his purpose in our lives for us. We may not understand it all, but we just have to trust God and believe that he will be with us. He will never leave us alone. He will never leave us unsupported and helpless. And this morning, God invites us to respond to his invitation and to come into his presence, to hear from him and to know his purposes and be equipped to face the circumstances of our lives. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord in our present circumstances. The Lord bless you.
Oh, come, let us adore him. I feel really fed. I don't know about you, but I feel that God has used David to feed me spiritually, and there's that elevation in my spirit. And as David was talking and is talking about the presence of God, the Holy Spirit just reminded me quickly that in his presence, there is fullness of joy.